ABC Radio Australia.
Now, in the treetops of Papua New Guinea lives the Rajana Bird of Paradise. It's the country's national bird, and it's renowned for its beautiful plume of feathers and unique mating rituals. And now, for the first time in 20 years, one of these birds has been successfully bred in captivity. And joining me to chat all about this is Port Moresby Nature Parks curator Brett Smith. Good morning, Brett.
Good morning, Jordan.
Brett, tell me, how significant is it that one of these birds has been bred in captivity for the first time in 20 years?
Yeah, it's pretty significant. We've been trying for many years at the nature park to breed it. And so finally this year, we've been getting closer and closer. And then finally this year, we actually had success. So we're very excited that we're actually finally able to breed them in captivity now.
And does it have to do with conservation? Like, what is that sort of angle to it?
Yeah, I mean, birds of paradise are pretty overexploited, I suppose, in this country for feathers for their headdresses, for traditional headdresses within the community. So, we really don't know whether that's a sustainable practice, going out and hunting and removing the feathers and killing the birds for the feathers. So anything that we can do in captivity to increase numbers and maybe one day return them to the wild is going to be beneficial to the species as a whole. So that's great news that we can actually breed them now in captivity.
Now, the Rajana Bird of Paradise, it has a pretty unique mating ritual. It does, an amazing dance. I'm sure many people who have watched, David Attenborough, for example, when he goes out into the wild to see these particular birds do its dancing ritual, are fascinated by it. Was that the breeding process that happened in captivity? Did you have these birds that did these mating dances, or how did the breeding process happen?
Yeah, we see that with our males. So we have a number of males at the park, but this particular time we've actually separated our individuals so we can introduce the females to our male, because the male does do a beautiful elaborate dance, as you just mentioned. So, they're sort of hanging up upside down almost with their feathers draped over their heads, doing a beautiful call and dance. It actually takes around 5 to 6 years for the males to get to that stage. So it is a long process for the males to learn that dance and get their beautiful feathers to show off to the female. And then it's the female that actually chooses the male. So when we introduce the female to the boys, to the male, she will choose which one she wants, and then she'll happily accept his mating rituals. And then she goes off and builds a nest by herself and lays the egg. So it is a long process, and one that we've been working towards for a number of years. And like I said, it's very exciting that we actually cracked it this year.
And so when you say that you've cracked it and have been working on it for quite a while, does that mean you've been introducing different female birds to the boys, as you said, and they just have been rejecting them? Like, they've got high standards? Like, what's happening?
Yeah, it is. It is a bit like that. The females do seem to have very high standards. We also built a new facility 3 years ago, which has also helped. So it allows us to separate the males and females once they've mated, or also allowing her to and introducing her to different males. So that's also been very important, is the design and construction of a new exhibit. That way she can choose, and then the males can actually get a little bit aggressive once they've finished mating, or other females. If another female sees a female laying or building a nest, she may get jealous and destroy the nest. So there's been a lot of processes in getting up to this stage, and so I think we're actually on the right track to being able to breed this for many years to come.
And so moving forward with this, can the same female bird mate with the same male bird again, or do you have to just keep trying to pair them up?
No, we can keep her with the same male. Of course, we want to change that up every couple of years just to make sure we don't get over representation of one particular couple of animals. But interesting, she's already gone back down onto the nest. So even though she successfully hatched and raised one chick already for us this year, this breeding season, she's already gone down for a second time with the same male already. Mm-hmm. So
that's really exciting. That means perhaps you'll have another little chick on the way very, very soon. Does this first
fingers crossed.
Does this first new baby chick have a name?
It does. It has a name of Bosch, which is a combination of the staff that looked after her or looked after the parents. So it was in their honour that it was named a section of all of their names. So that's how it's got its name, Bosch.
Oh, that is absolutely gorgeous. I love that so much. You're listening right now to Brett Smith. He's the curator at the Port Moresby Nature Park. Now, Brett, I understand that the Nature Park has actually recently won 2 awards at what I understand is the Oscars for zoos, I guess, is how it's been described to me. Tell me a little bit about these awards.
Yeah, so we're a part of the Zoo and Aquarium Association of Australasia, which encompasses all the zoos from Australia, New Zealand, and the South Pacific. And they're actually holding their annual conference at the moment in Sydney, virtually, online. And we're actually nominated for 4 categories. And we were very lucky that we picked up 2 of the awards. So very exciting news for us. So we won took away the awards for small-scale exhibit for our reptile house, which was 2 shipping containers, which we converted into displays for snakes and reptiles, lizards and amphibians. And the second award we won was for our community engagement award, which we ran on, which was called Snaketastic, which was changing people's behaviour and attitude towards snakes in this country, which is not an easy thing to do in any country because people generally have a fear of snakes. But here it's even a little bit more difficult than that. You consider that over 1,000 people die annually from snake bite in this country, and 50% of that is from, you know, victims are children. And so it's a bit of a thing that where it sort of goes a little bit unnoticed because it's a bit of, people aren't getting sick and transmitting it like COVID or something like that, but it's still a very serious killer of people in this country. So everyone, when they see a snake, they think it should be killed because it's dangerous. But in fact, you know, there's of the 300 species we have in Papua New Guinea, maybe only 6 are dangerous. And so just changing people's attitude that, you know, just the best thing to do is leave snakes alone. And to avoid snake bite is just simply to wear shoes, because a lot of people go out in their gardens to, you know, to tend their crops and all the rest, not wearing shoes, wearing bare feet. And so just a simple thing of wearing shoes while you're walking through the long grass can avoid getting bitten by a snake. So we also taught the communities and how to treat a snake bite. We had St. John Ambulance come out and demonstrate how to, you know, once you're bitten by a snake, what's the best thing to do, you know, applying bandages. And also we had Charles Campbell Toxinology, which talked to people about which snakes are dangerous and which ones weren't, and also all about antivenin and how they come about constructing antivenin to inject back into people to save their lives. So very proud that we're able to pick up those 2 awards, and it's not just for the nature park. I think it's also just goes to show everyone that, you know, even in Papua New Guinea, we can match it with the best zoos anywhere in the world.
Yeah, no, that's fascinating. I didn't realize that sort of relationship between people in PNG to snakes. It's more like an education sort of event that people were able to attend and learn.
Yeah, it was an education event that we ran at the park for, I think it was around 2 months. And so people could come out to the park and we had snake demonstrations. Our staff talked about snakes. We had St. John Ambulance coming out doing, you know, with the people in the crowd and in our facility, getting them to show them physically how to apply bandages and, you know, to stay still and what the best approach was. So it ran for a number of weeks or months, and it was well received. And yeah, I think it's great that the Zoo Association has acknowledged that and what the work we're doing here. So, yeah, great to come away with an award.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, Brett, thank you so very much for joining me here on Pacific Beat and yeah, giving us an update on the pretty amazing things that are coming out of the Nature Park there.
Yeah, thank you.